This is Cashing Out with your host, Dustin Sweetelson, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Saturday night here in downtown Las Vegas, Dustin Sweetelson has the night off, the much-deserved night off before we get into the regular football season. I'm Doug Kazarian, filling in, trying to fill in a very large chair and large shoes. He's done a great job, and obviously, this time of night, a lot going on in sports. We're going to update you for the next 3 hours of exactly what's happening, everything going on, including UFC in Philadelphia. We have some preseason football coming down to the wire, including the Cowboys that just found the end zone. Brad and Will told you about that. We have a couple baseball games going on as well. And one WNBA game, the high-profile match of the day. Arguably the two best teams in the league with about 3 minutes to go. Here in Las Vegas, the Aces hosting the Lynx. So we're going to cover all that and get to that. If you want to tweet the show, do that. You can tweet at VSiN or myself. Doug Kazarian is the handle. And let us know questions. We're going to take a lot of questions throughout the next 3 hours. And we also have some awesome guests. It's the first full weekend of the NFL preseason. What did we learn? Did anyone stand out? Do we have any sort of guys who are ready to shine and actually make rosters breakthrough? Perhaps. We're going to talk to Jarrett Bailey in less than 15 minutes from now. He covers the NFL for SB Nation. He's going to summarize everything we learned this first weekend. Is there any actionable information? Betting for the next week preseason, betting regular season futures, or just talk some football because we obviously love that the pigskin is back. We're also talking college football this hour. That's with Michael Calabrese from the Action Network, hosts a couple college football podcasts, does a great job in both hoops and football. Obviously, the season is upon us, going to obviously kick off before the regular season the NFL does. So we're going to pick his brain with some futures, also look at some week zero and week one lines, anything that stands out to him. The next hour, we're going to have another writer from the Action Network, Spencer Aguiar's. We're going to look at some golf. It's a interesting weekend. Scotty Scheffler took the lead, took command of the tournament. Is he finally going to break through and win a tournament? Obviously, he's done better than he's done in previous tournaments up until this point through three rounds. We'll get into that. Also, I'm looking forward to talking to the professor, Aaron Moore, who's always got good stuff, whether it's college baseball. Not that that's what's going on this time of year, but anything you have, he has a good insight on it. He's got his ear to the ground, so we're going to pick his brain a little bit. And Hoops Peterson, also Bases Peterson, I guess, because we're going to be talking baseball. Greg Peterson in the final hour. We're going to look ahead to tomorrow's show and pick his brain in terms of what he likes. I'm also going to weigh in. I was on the Red Sox. That was the only big play I had today. Had really nothing in the WNBA, but the Red Sox are up. I believe they're just shut the door. Chapman, it was 1-0. They wasted a lot of opportunities. Had second and third, nobody out twice and didn't score. You know what typically happens in those situations. They waste the opportunity and then they lose. But nonetheless, the Red Sox did hang on and get the win behind Sonny Gray. Jared Jones did pitch well for the Pittsburgh Pirates. In terms of games going on right now that I'm keeping an eye on, we're scoreless in Anaheim. Angels and Royals, not exactly a high-profile game, but you know, in the betting world, everything counts. Also scoreless in the second inning in West Sacramento. Angels hosting the Rangers. So both of those had totals that have come crashing down. In terms of action going on right now that's maybe a little bit more popular, UFC. I touched on it a second ago. The co-main and main event are just around the corner. Makhachev, a big favorite over Ian Garry. I like Garry plus 285. And for all the other analysis, go check out the picks page at VSiN.com. There's a lot of analysis. Also on the UFC page, I know Lou Finocchiaro does a great job. He's also on the dog with me, but he has an interesting way to play it, including the points. You don't get that option a lot, especially in Vegas, but outside of Nevada, you do. In DraftKings, FanDuel, you can take the points, like 10-9 rounds, 20-18. That's a two-point gap. So how many rounds will Garry win if it does, in fact, go the distance or you get the outright winner inside the distance? I mentioned Cowboys found the end zone. They're leading on the road 17-7, just past the midway mark of the third quarter. Again, these are guys that typically won't make the roster, but you never know what could come about. In fact, earlier today, a guy who's been getting a lot of buzz is the running back for the Kansas City Chiefs, a fifth-round pick out of Nebraska, Emmett Johnson. 10 carries, 59 yards, and Andy Reid's system. You never know if this guy breaks through and catches the eyes. In terms of starters or expected starters, Josh Allen played, I believe, two series. He was 6 of 8, passing 111 yards. Also had a touchdown pass as the Bills faced the Panthers. We know Buffalo's got that new stadium. A lot of criticism for the layout. Some seats definitely didn't look good. The Browns got some steam in preseason because you have a quarterback battle. Typically, that means you want to back both that team because they got two guys playing with the ones. Maybe you have obviously Sanders, and you also have, of course, the name's escaping me, but Deshaun Watson. I mean, it's crazy how bad Watson played. A guy who led the NFL in passing yards when he was with the Texans at one point. He's been absolutely terrible today. He hit some passes, but there was a lot of – he got hit as he was throwing, and then there were overthrows. It really wasn't a pretty game. Now, we're going to hear from Todd Monken, the new head coach in Cleveland. Obviously a rebuilding year, but here's his thoughts on what he saw from Deshaun Watson.
I mean, it was so cool to watch him play. I mean, I get all of the frustration by fans, himself, but for him to come back and work like he did is an unbelievable credit to him. And then to go out there, he was having fun today. And that is so cool. And I thought he really functioned at a high level. Certainly, we don't want to be taking timeouts. We sure as heck can't take delay games, okay? But it was fun watching him play.
All right, so glass half full approach for Todd Monken and his coaching debut, although preseason doesn't technically matter. Obviously, that's his coaching debut. Browns smoked in the second half, outscored 24-0 at the Bears. Chicago wins 34-10. Like I said, a bunch of steam on Chicago. Both quarterbacks pretty poor. Monken trying to find the silver lining there. Watson, 11 of 15, buck 26. All right, not terrible. Sanders did look bad, 6 of 11, 79 yards, had the pick. It wasn't pretty across the board. But again, as I believe Mark Schlereth said when I was at ESPN, he said, yes, preseason doesn't count, but it does matter. And I think that's an important part, especially when you're trying to work out the kinks. But we've seen teams look all world in preseason, then do nothing once the regular season starts, and vice versa. By the way, I'm sure some of you are critiquing my space station setup here. I got the tri-screen. When you're flying solo, trying to host a bunch of things, you can watch games, do a bunch of stuff. We have monitors across the studio. So, yes, this is a cheat code setup. I actually have it at home, even when I'm not hosting, but it is great. So, in case you get some wide shots of the layout. In terms of other action across the NFL, Jackson Dart with the new regime of John Harbaugh. I mean, again, these quarterbacks are going to play two series tops. But it's obviously a lot of optimism in New York because they blew so many games and so many leads, right? It's like, well, if they could just hold on to leads, they may have been a playoff team. And now you got the adult in the room with Harbaugh coming over from Baltimore. Dart, if he can stay healthy. Last year they messed around with Russell Wilson, but Dart certainly injected some excitement. I'll tell you one team that's caught a lot of eyes is Minnesota, right? What Kevin O'Connell did a couple years ago. He has all those weapons, and then he made Sam Darnold look pretty good. And then before Darnold went to Seattle, of course, won the Super Bowl. Well, now they go and get Kyler Murray, and he's announced as a starting quarterback ahead of J.J. McCarthy. Well, finally, we get to see Murray, who's obviously a dual-threat quarterback, operate in this Kevin O'Connell system. Now, the NFC North, certainly deep and competitive, but Brian Flores, the defensive coordinator, returns. He's got a top-seven defense in Minnesota, I believe, three straight years. The Vikings did beat the Giants 13-10, so not exactly a lot of fireworks. But here is Kevin O'Connell, a.k.a. KOC, on his new quarterback as his first snaps for Kyler Murray as a Viking.
Kyler's done a great job from an above-the-neck standpoint, being able to handle it. That was really our first time off the play clock, working like the sideline to quarterback communication, his command of the huddle. There was a lot of really positive things that we saw out of that first group, and it, eight plays, it took everything in me not to, keep him out there, but we kind of got a lot of the things we wanted to see out of that group, done, and obviously, a big week with the joint practices. Those guys will get a ton of work between Wednesday and Thursday.
Okay. Again, staying positive. Coaches are going to do that. Protect their quarterbacks. Unless you've been there forever and the quarterback actually played well, you're going to criticize a little bit and say he's got to work on X, Y, and Z, blah, blah, blah. But there's certainly need a little bit. Kid gloves is too strong of a comment, but you want to be constructive and have kid gloves to a certain extent because, and also O'Connell, I mean, he's been a straight shooter. If certain reads weren't there for Kyler Murray, sometimes an incompletion is a great play. I thought Mendoza played well, his debut once he backed up Kirk Cousins and got in. Mendoza's a smart QB. He'll throw the ball away if he has to. That's all coaches want really from their quarterback, especially young ones, is to end every drive with a kick, whether that's a PAT, a field goal, or a punt. You don't want turnovers. We all remember Indiana and the Rose Bowl smoking Alabama, but what we forget is that first possession, Indiana went 3 and out. Run up the middle, stuffed, 2 dropbacks for Mendoza. They blitzed, and then he fell down and took a sack. He didn't throw it away, but he also didn't throw an interception or anything risky. Well, you know what happened? Kurt Cignetti tweaked some of the offensive line assignments, and then it was smooth sailing from there. So Mendoza's not afraid to play it safe, make the smart play, and maybe Murray did that. I just thought it was funny he mentioned that because Kyler Murray, we know, didn't know the playbook, all that stuff, all those reports that surfaced in Arizona. We'll see what happens in Minnesota. I thought McCarthy looked okay at times, also took some sacks, but all of that, tabled for now. We'll see if they get more action moving forward in week 2. We're going to talk more NFL. As I mentioned, Jarrett Bailey, an NFL writer for SB Nation, is standing by. He's going to touch on the stuff we can glean from this first full week of the NFL preseason. It's not over yet. We got some games going on right now. I believe there's more games tomorrow as well. But either way, we've seen a lot of action. He's going to help us process it. We are just getting started. A live 3 hours here on Cashing Out. I am Doug Kazarian. Again, we're just getting warmed up. This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back to Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We are live in downtown Las Vegas on this lovely Saturday night. And just reading a tweet from Ryan Glasspiegel of Front Office Sports, really true statement. Quite the nice sports day. UFC 330, full baseball slate. You got La Liga's back, the FedEx Cup, WNBA, high-profile games, including game winding down right now in Vegas, Lynx and Aces, and then ton of NFL preseason. And speaking of the UFC, we have 3 more bouts to go, including the main event and co-main. So I'll keep you updated on that, everything going on in the diamond. We have the Cowboys and Seahawks in the fourth quarter of the preseason. Right now, though, I want to welcome in Jarrett Bailey, who covers the NFL for SB Nation, as he joins us via the Progressive guest line. And Jarrett, appreciate you taking the time. I know Saturday night, us in the sports media world, we don't know what day it is. We always work, but still, it's a Saturday night. So I personally appreciate you giving us some knowledge and some perspective. Before we get into your futures, and you have 5 win totals I want to touch on, anything you gleaned that's worth like writing down in a notebook from this opening full week of the NFL preseason?
Well, I mean, somebody in Pittsburgh, I was pretty excited about the Drew Aller debut. Okay. Personally, I'm a Penn State guy as well. So yeah, I went into Thursday night with a little bit of, you know, kind of crossing the fingers, hoping that, one of these Pittsburgh quarterbacks would look good. And yeah, Drew Aller delivered 3 total touchdowns. That's kind of been the overall big overarching storyline for the past couple of days is the quarterback play in Pittsburgh. So that's been really fun to follow along all off season and whatnot, and being in Latrobe for a few days to kind of see it up close and personal. Excited to see what comes in week 2 from those quarterbacks.
All right. That's fair. I appreciate that. And the jokes sometimes write themselves, right? If he shines and he's going against college guys, and that didn't happen in previous stops. So even if he just does well in the preseason, that's worth mentioning, but the jokes write themselves. You can criticize James Franklin if in fact Aller plays well and thrives in the NFL. Of course, he's going to be a Hall of Famer. And then the criticism of James Franklin in the Keystone State will certainly be, loud, to say the least. All right, let's get into your win totals, and we'll start with these aforementioned Pittsburgh Steelers. Obviously a tough division, not necessarily the Browns, but they're in theory looking up at the Ravens, and they're looking up at the Bengals. And I'll tell you, here at VSiN, since he's a chic pick with Joe Burrow MVP tickets, win totals, obviously it's a new era in terms of the coaching regime in Baltimore. Steelers, 7.5 wins. Why do you like the over?
Yeah, I mean, you look at what they did last season with a less than talented group than what they have right now on offense. I understand that Aaron Rodgers isn't top 10 quarterback Aaron Rodgers anymore, but to see what he did, especially in the final week of the year against Baltimore, not having DK Metcalf, basically throwing to the mascot and the cheerleaders and still leading them to a division title in the final game of the year. I love the addition of Michael Pittman, Jeremy Bernard already showcasing his talents in week one of the preseason. Really good collection of tight ends, a good running back duo with Rico Dowdle and Jaylen Warren, the only running back duo in the NFL where both guys topped 1,000 scrimmage yards last season. A very underrated duo of Dowdle and Warren, a good offensive line and a good defense. Like, I understand that there's been changes, but everybody like kind of like elbowing one another and like laughing at the hire of Mike McCarthy. Put Mike McCarthy's resume next to Mike Tomlin's, put it next to Sean Payton's. It is as good or maybe better than both of theirs. So I haven't understood the pushback of Mike McCarthy. I really think that the hire is going to do wonders for them offensively. And Patrick Graham at defensive coordinator, I'm really looking forward to seeing what this defense looks like with a more progressive, modern eye. I think 7.5 wins is incredibly low when it comes to their season total. I think that they'll be right in the mix of what they've been the last three seasons. They've had 10 wins each of the last 3 years. I see no reason why they can't at least replicate that this year.
All right. So yes, 10 wins last year. Of course, Mike Tomlin in all his years never had a losing record. 8-9 would cash your ticket and still be a losing record. So you'd be okay there. It's a little juicy. I am a McCarthy critic. However, I do think his floor is higher than other coaches, right? He is somewhat competent. I just think he's very overrated with his like analytics when he lied to the Cowboys and some of this other stuff. I think he's kind of a meathead, and he sort of is an old dog, new tricks. You can't teach, but I do think the floor is pretty high. I do think the stuff will be buttoned up. And all these moving parts, since he's got a lot of question marks, it starts with their defense. I know they made some steps to improve it, but the past record speaks for itself. Burrow's been unhealthy often, and I don't know if I trust their coach, especially early in the season. They lose games. The Ravens have a 30-year-old offensive coordinator, new system for Lamar. So I certainly wouldn't bet under with that Steelers play. Let's talk about the Chiefs. Obviously, high expectations. Mahomes last year with the severe knee injury. It looks like he's good to go from week one. He was running around a little bit. Some of the footage was shown today during the NFL preseason broadcast, although he didn't suit up and play. Why do you see 11-plus wins from KC?
Yeah, because last year, anything and everything that could have gone wrong for the Chiefs did. Compared to the previous season where anything that could have went right and any role that could have went their way, they had incredible luck. I think they'll meet in the middle here. I don't think it'll be a 14 or 15 win team again, but 11 wins when you get Patrick Mahomes back. Doug, I don't know if you know this, but Mahomes has never had a 1,000-yard running back. Huh. Isaiah Pacheco came close a few years ago. He's going to have one this year with Kenneth Walker. I think bringing back Eric Bieniemy as well at offensive coordinator is going to, you know, bring a little bit more hard nose to the defense, something that they really lacked with Matt Nagy. The receiving core, it's fine. It's not great, but if Rashee Rice is playing well, I mean, that's a fine number one. If Xavier Worthy is healthy, that's a lot of speed that they have there. Cyrus Allen today on a random Saturday in August looked really good. They have a draft pick last year invested in Jalen Royals. So they've got, you know, a balance of veteran guys and potential young guys that can contribute in the receiving core. And yeah, losing Trent McDuffie in the secondary isn't great, but if there's anybody who's going to make young pieces work, it's Steve Spagnuolo. He did it before with McDuffie after they traded away Legarius Sneed. They drafted Mansoor Delane in the first round. I have faith in both sides of the ball for Kansas City, and I think that they bounce back in a big way and will look much closer to the Chiefs we've come to know rather than, you know, like I said, everything going wrong that could have gone wrong in 2025.
Yeah, we forget that defense with Spags, you mentioned, is very, very stout. So if they get the Super Bowl MVP Walker to produce, and Andy Reid still got the wide receivers running around, and Kelsey's still Kelsey, that plus money at 11 or more wins, certainly enticing. Let's keep it in the division where Bo Nix and the Broncos, or maybe a Nix injury away from going to the Super Bowl. You like them some regression this year, under 9.5 wins. Obviously, I think a tougher division with the Chargers getting more competent with Mike McDaniel, and then the Raiders, any step in any direction is going to be more, make them more competent. Why do you like the Broncos under 9.5 here?
Yeah, I mean, we talked about the Chiefs winning a bunch of one-score games. I believe an NFL record in one-score games in 2024, and we saw the regression happen last year for them. I don't think that Denver's going to see a regression that steep, but, you know, they won 11 one-score games a year ago. That typically regresses to the mean. And that, you know, Kansas City is just one example. A few years ago when Minnesota went on that magical run and won, I believe, 13 games, a lot of those were one score games. And then the year after that, they take a step back. I think defensively, Denver's still going to be one of the 3 to 5 best units in football. I just don't believe in the quarterback. Last year, 45 quarterbacks took 150 snaps. Bo Nix was 32nd in success rate. So, you know, when you have shortcomings at quarterback, that, you know, typically for me is going to put a lower ceiling on you. Last year, you know, we talked about everything going wrong for Kansas City. Everything really went right for Denver, and they were the benefits of that until the very end of the divisional playoff game against Buffalo, where Bo Nix got hurt. So I think that benefiting from all those one score wins, that number will traditionally go down. And yes, they added Jalen Waddle, Cortland Sutton, you know, a little bit older receiver. Running back wise, I don't think that there's much there in the run game. So again, like I said, defensively, I have full faith in Denver to be a top five, top three unit. Offensively, I am very intrigued what that looks like this year, especially Sean Payton's not calling plays. How long is that going to last? You know, if they start off slow, you know, 1-2, 1-3, is he going to take the reins from Davis Webb within the first month of the season? That is something that could be a ticking time bomb if they don't start fast.
Yeah, these coordinators who come out of nowhere and are all of a sudden head coaching interviews and maybe a head coaching candidate, legitimate, it always surprised me. But Davis Webb had a lot of buzz. And I think we forget, especially with the NFL, when there's so many worst to first and so many teams taking step backs. You mentioned it with the Chiefs discussion, how many one-score games they lost versus the one-score games they won the year before. As teams take the leap, some teams got to regress. And maybe it is Denver. But to your point, they have a really good defense. There is a home field advantage with the altitude. Although last year, late in the season, remember the Jags went in there and won outright. I mean, some of these teams can handle their business. Obviously, the Bills had him on the ropes in the postseason, as wild of a game as that was. Jarrett, we're actually against the clock. Do you mind sticking around for a few more minutes? Because I know you have a couple other win totals, and I don't want to rush those because, obviously, we got the NFL season upon us.
Absolutely. Let's do it.
Okay. All right, and one of those involves the Dallas Cowboys, and Jarrett's going for an alt line. Hey, the Cowboys are looking good. Tonight, if they hold on to this 10-point lead, that win does not count. But there's a lot of expectations. I like Schottenheimer. Look, you saw some nepotism with the Texans last year and their head coach, who really had no business with that job. But Schottenheimer could have gotten a job a lot earlier in his career, being Marty's son, and he's paid his dues, was a coordinator forever. I like what he's doing in Dallas. The problem is the other side of the ball on defense. So I'm going to ask Jarrett why he thinks he's seeing double-digit wins for Dallas and maybe even a deep playoff run. And we're also going to go the other end of the spectrum. Can the Titans take a leap now that they got Cam Ward, now that they got rid of their Callahan sort of nepotism hire? We're just getting started here. This is Cashing Out. I am Doug Kazarian. We are live in Las Vegas. We're going to talk more NFL, and we have a college football handicapper as well about 20 minutes from now.
Welcome back to Cashing Out. You're on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We have 2.5 hours more. We are live in Las Vegas, downtown Las Vegas, that is, at Circa Resort and Casino. I am Doug Kazarian, and we are talking right now with Jarrett Bailey, who covers the NFL for SB Nation. We're talking NFL futures. We've already touched on some win totals. The Steelers over 7.5, Chiefs over 10.5 plus money, Broncos under 9.5, but we got two more to get through. Let's talk with America's team. They're playing right now, I should say, with the lead in Seattle. Of course, it's the reserves or bench warmers, let's call it. What do you see in Dallas that maybe the odds makers and the betting market does not, Jarrett?
Yeah, I don't need Dallas's defense to be the 85 Bears. If their offense lives up to its potential, the defense just needs to hang out as like the 19th best defense in football, which would be marginally better than what they were last year. They gave it the most explosive plays in the NFL a year ago. They took care of that, or realized that was the issue, and went out and got safety Jalen Thompson from Arizona. They drafted Caleb Downs. And up front, I mean, it's a good front. I understand they got, you know, mocked for the Micah Parsons trade last year, but, you know, having Kenny Clark, Quinnen Williams, Rashawn Gary, I mean, that's a pretty good defensive line to have going into the season. So I think defensively they're going to be very much improved. And offensively, whenever you have a wide receiver duo of CeeDee Lamb and George Pickens, a top 10 quarterback in Dak Prescott, the offense is going to be good. So defensively, it just needs, they just need to be able to hold up their end of the couch. They don't need to be, you know, a superstar unit. They just got to keep, you know, points down consistently while the offense does its thing. And I think, you know, we saw what that could look like in spurts last year. I think we'll see it a little bit more consistently this year, and Dallas will be back in the postseason.
Okay. All right. Look, I was saying earlier, I like Schottenheimer. I like the infrastructure, and the defense has got to step up, but they should score plenty of runs, and that one would think that would bode well for their team. We'll see what happens in the division, because in theory, the Eagles are on top. Commanders with a healthy Jaden Daniels will be better, perhaps distracted with his jersey number in Baton Rouge, but then also the Giants should be better with Harbaugh coming in and Daboll and all the mistakes they made with blowing leads late. But you never know how this season can unfold, so you can't just assume everything that happened last year in the division happens this year. The other win total I think is really interesting is the Tennessee Titans, because Robert Saleh gets another chance. You don't want to evaluate a coach just on how he was with the Jets. And we all know a similar organization like the Cleveland Browns didn't do so hot with Belichick in his first NFL head coaching gig, and he did okay in his second, I'd say. So Saleh gets another chance here, defensive-minded, but he has a former number one overall pick and a quarterback in Cam Ward. Their win total, 6.5 in a division, the NFC South, typically hasn't been good, but at least it's sort of the floor is higher nowadays, and at the top, they're not total jokes.
No, they're not. I think adding Saleh is going to make that defense marginally better, and I think he's the right guy to have at the top of the ship. Like you said, he kind of got the raw end of the deal with the Jets, and I think he's a guy that, in a second opportunity to be a head guy, I think he's learned from the past, and I really look forward to seeing what that defense looks like. They brought in multiple proven names in John Franklin Myers from Denver. They signed Alante Taylor and Cordell Flott from New Orleans and the Giants. Safety KJ Winston, they drafted out of Penn State. So they have a combination of you know, proven vet talent, as well as some young guys who have been there for a couple years on that side of the ball. And offensively, I really like what Cam Ward can be. Brian Daboll has a proven track record of elevating quarterbacks. You know, two of the best seasons of Josh Allen's career came with Daboll as offensive coordinator. When he was with the Giants, he got a good year out of Daniel Jones, and they won a playoff game with Daniel Jones. And you know, despite blowing leads last year, Jackson Dart was playing good football on that offense. So he's got a proven track record. Now, he also has a track record of being a hothead, so I don't know how long this marriage is going to last. But for this first year, I think that the Titans can be a team that are playing meaningful games in December. And, you know, I wrote 61 predictions for the NFL season over at SB Nation, and one of them was, you know, every year there's a team that comes out of nowhere and makes the postseason. I think that Tennessee could be that team this year, and they're going to be that number 7 seed. So if you're really feeling frisky, that make playoffs at plus 340 could be talking to you, and it certainly talked to me. So if they pull it off, I'll look like a genius. If not, then, you know, I'll have a little bit of egg on my face. But I really like what Tennessee can be this year. I think we see a really big year two jump from Cam Ward. He actually has NFL capable receivers with Carnell Tate and Wandale Robinson now as his 1-2. So I look forward to seeing what Tennessee can be this year, and hopefully they end up proving me right.
You know, I heard it from a pro bettor. He likes New Orleans in the NFC to surprise, and Tennessee sort of his chic pick in the AFC, and maybe they do come out of nowhere. Not a lot of people saw Seattle last year. You mentioned some good points about Daboll, what he did as an OC. He has that with, and now Carnell Tate, you mentioned him. He's the third favorite behind Tuke Mendoza and Love in Arizona as the rookie of the year, offensive rookie of the year. So he could have big numbers. Obviously, we know how Ohio State wide receivers fare typically in the NFL, including JSN, who helped the Seahawks win the Super Bowl. Jarrett, we appreciate your time so much and your insight. Good luck on these wagers and everything else moving forward.
All right, buddy. Take care.
All right, that is Jarrett Bailey of SB Nation joining us via the Progressive Guest Line. I'm Doug Kazarian here downtown Las Vegas. We are live keeping track of everything. There's two baseball games going on right now. Still scoreless in Anaheim. Bottom four now. Angels and Royals, so a bit of a pitcher's duel, not expected, with Dobnak and Detmers on the bump. But then again, when you factor in there's these offenses, you never know what to expect. And the Rangers are absolutely gutless. I can't wait for this team to go away. They just lost 3 of 4 in Anaheim. They lost the opener against the A's. They're down 3-0 right now in the third. This team is a joke, particularly offensively. They're 3 games under 500, and they're still somehow in the AL West race. They really need to go away. So does Seattle. This division should really go to Houston. So we're keeping track of that. We have two more fights, the co-main and the main event in Philadelphia for UFC 330. So we're keeping tabs on that as well. Seahawks and Cowboys are still 17-7. Dallas with the lead on the road about midway through the fourth quarter in that NFL preseason game. And we're going to talk some college in about 9 minutes from now, because week zero of college football is almost here. And with the NFL regular season right behind it, now's the time to get your edge with VSiN Pro. Join VSiN Pro today and get instant access to both our college football and NFL betting guides packed with team previews, power ratings, proven betting systems, and best bets from VSiN's top analysts. And that's just the start. You'll also get daily best bets for VSiN hosts and guests, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, AI-powered prop tools, and matchup analysis, plus 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app. Start today for just $9.99 or save 50% with a VSiN Pro annual subscription. Sign up now at VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. And it really is amazing content when you look at both the college football and the NFL betting guides. You got analysis on every team. Yes, in college football, all the conference, you know, analysis in terms of their win total, division odds, every single team, what happened, both, you know, offseason, the moves, the coaching moves, and obviously with the portal nowadays, you really do need that information. And we're going to try to sort it out in college with Michael Calabrese, who's coming up in 7 minutes from now. He does a podcast, part of the Big Men on Campus group that does that awesome podcast for the Action Network. He's got some plays for the upcoming season. I'm going to pick his brain across the board on that. But like I said, we just talked some NFL. It's the first full weekend in the NFL preseason. And look, you don't want to do a bunch of stuff. I mentioned Cowboys and Seahawks. You just had a turnover inside the 10 for Dallas on a punt return. But, you know, we're looking at Drew Locke, Jalen Milroe's playing. Okay, so we're not getting Dak and Sam Darnold. But it's still good to have the NFL on the screen and check some stuff out. So what's been going on? We have some news with the wide receivers, some running backs. Also, Adam Schefter reporting that we have the highest paid corner in NFL history with the Seahawks coming to terms with three-time Pro Bowler Devin Witherspoon. They've reached an agreement on a four-year, $132 million extension. It includes over $101 million guaranteed. So he is now the highest paid cornerback in NFL history. Now, you always want to make the CPI, the Consumer Price Index. What is that? I don't want to nerd out. It's basically saying like a dollar now is not necessarily a dollar in, I don't know, 2009 when there's an economic crisis, right? It's like the can of Coke. But with the TV deals and everything going skyrocketing, no matter what the dollar was 10 years ago, 20 years ago, it's still going to be the highest paid because of these TV deals. So that's really what stands out to me in that regard. But corner, left tackle, obviously quarterback, but those are the most important positions we've learned. And then obviously if you have an absolute stud wide receiver like JSN or, I don't know, Jamar Chase, Patterson, some of these guys who are absolute dynamic, they can change games. But corner, obviously understandable why they locked up Witherspoon, who was a stud pick out of Illinois, top 10 pick, and they really made good use of that one. That's when Gonzalez went to New England, that same draft. All right, we're going to talk college football. Like I said, Michael Calabrese is going to join us. They're through four in Anaheim, still scoreless. We're continuing to track that game. Rangers are still scoreless. They're bottom third out there in West Sacramento. And then we're about to have the co-main event. Jillian is going to take face with Mackenzie Dern. Her belt is on the line. So a lot of going on right now in the sports world. We're going to talk college football straight ahead with Michael Calabrese of the Action Network. Find out what bets he has circled for the upcoming season, which is later this month.
Welcome back to Cashing Out. You're on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We are live in downtown Las Vegas. I am Doug Kazarian, and at the Circa Resort and Casino, we have tons going on in the sports world. Two baseball games right now, one NFL preseason game winding down, and UFC 330 in Philadelphia, the co-main event. So there's two bouts left right now. We have the women's strawweight belt on the line. Mackenzie Dern, the Brazilian, is putting her title belt on the line against Jillian Robertson. Dern is a slight, like, 220, 230 favorite. So keeping an eye on that one. Robertson's had some little war of words here. We'll see if it's authentic, see if it translates over. It's scheduled for five rounds. Expected, almost a coin flip to go the distance. So it should be a good fight. We'll continue to update that. Fighters are about to step into the octagon. Just want to let you guys know, most people think sports betting is about picking winners. Ungambled is built on a different idea, matched betting and arbitrage. It's a tool that teaches you how to use sportsbook bonuses and promotional offers to capture value, whether or not your side covers. And Ungambled backs it up. If you don't turn a profit on your bankroll in 8 weeks, they refund your membership. To learn more, start with the free guide at ungambled.com/VSIN. That's ungambled.com/VSIN and use the promo code VSIN for 10% off. Bet sharp, look square. It's kind of a fun sort of phrase there. And speaking of fun, we're going to bring in Michael Calabrese of the Action Network, who is as synonymous with college football as anyone in the betting space. Does a ton of content there at the Action Network. Also does the BMOC, one of the hosts of that podcast, that has some great content, especially the teams that fly under the radar. Michael, we appreciate you taking this time on the East Coast this late on a Saturday night.
As we were just saying, I got to get my body right. The Pac-12 is back. That means Pac-12 After Dark is back. And you can't just roll out of bed in week one and expect to be ready for an 11:15 p.m. kickoff. So I'm trying to get my body right. This is fall camp for everybody, journalists included.
Yeah, and let's not overlook Hawaii. We still got the Hawaii late kickoffs about 6 or 7 weeks a year. So, yes, we got to get our body acclimated, of course. I want to start with some of the higher-profile teams, as in Ohio State. One of the favorites to win it all this season. Obviously, they're in the discussion. They are either the co-favorite or favorite at most books, around 6, 6.5 to 1. And hot take time, you don't think they're starting the right quarterback. Julian Sand was in the Heisman conversation as a true freshman last year. Why do you think it's not Sand?
So what's interesting is essentially Saiyan won the job. He took it from Lincoln Klein-Holtz last year, who ended up transferring to Louisville, who I think is a bit underrated this year. And he was handed the keys to a Ferrari. When you look at their offense last year, Jeremiah Smith should be in the NFL right now. The only reason he is not is because of eligibility and timing rules for entry into the NFL. He's one of the best wide receivers to play in college football in the last 10 years. This Bo Jackson kid comes out of nowhere in terms of his overall usage and makes it very easy on Sane. And when you look at the games where they had a clear talent advantage and the game flow set a stage where they were playing with a lead where it was clear they were going to win, he picked teams apart. They're able to play slow, methodical football. And then they get into the postseason and they play Indiana. He puts up a stinker. They only score 10 points and they lose. They play against the Miami Hurricanes in the college football playoff. He takes 5 more sacks in that game, throws 2 interceptions. Yet everyone is kind of just giving him a mulligan in those situations and saying that he's the perfect kid because you look at his completion percentage and his overall production, that clearly he should be a top 5 candidate to win the Heisman Trophy. And clearly when you start ranking the quarterbacks at the top of the sport, he's got to be 1 or 1A or 1B. I don't see it. And frankly, when I go back 2 years ago in the spring game, Tavian St. Clair gave a lot of Justin Fields vibes to me in this Buckeyes offense. He's more mobile. He's someone who can create outside the pocket. He can create big plays, not just to run, but also to put the ball downfield. I think he's the kind of athlete that if there was a situation, and this is kind of a, you know, dog ear this conversation in the event that Julian Sand gets hurt and all of a sudden people panic in Columbus, people panic in the national media, and their odds to win the Big Ten and the national title skyrocket, I think that's a perfect situation for St. Clair to come in and all of a sudden take this offense to new heights. So saying, at least in my opinion, vis-a-vis what he's able to do in this offense, I don't come away overly impressed, but that is just as it relates to his national, you know, the perspective on him being this true quarterback who could be on the same page as Trinidad Chambliss. I don't think they're in the same weight class at all. And I just want to call that out. It may be a hot take here in August, but I do think if St. Clair gets an opportunity and some run with the ones on this Buckeyes offense, he could make this team sing.
I was saying something similar last year. I said going into the Big Ten championship game, I wouldn't even consider Julian Sand for a Heisman vote if I had one. I thought it was ridiculous. His receivers were wide open all season. I don't care what his completion percentage was. He was like, it's a war. Wins above replacement. Like, any warm body could have been just fine with the Buckeyes last year. And they had the training wheels on him when they faced, obviously, Texas early in the season because he was a true freshman. I didn't think he should have had any consideration. To me, it was Pavia should have won. And I'm not, like, totally upset that Mendoza bid. But I thought what Pavia did for a Vandy team that was 6-6 the year before was certainly worth more. But this I've not heard. So I'm really interested to see what happens with the Buckeyes. They hosted UT last year. Now they got to go to Austin this year early in the season. We'll see what happens with that. They do open against Ball State at home, that rigorous in-state rivalry that they have with the Cardinals. But some tricky games on their schedule. They're at Indiana, at USC, at Iowa, home to Oregon. And then obviously the game against Michigan and the regular season. We'll see if there's a coaching change in Columbus, a quarterback change in Columbus later in the season. So let's start with some futures. LSU, obviously a huge spotlight with Lane Kiffin coming over and abandoning his team that was in the playoff in Oxford, Mississippi. They're going to get everyone's best shot. They're going to have a giant bullseye on their back, but you think there's betting value on the Tigers not to win the SEC, to win it all. Why is that?
Well, what's interesting is there is no greater spread between books for the contenders truly to win the national title than LSU. You know, at the floor, they were 15-1. I grabbed them last week at 25-1. They're still out there in the market at 22-1. And what's interesting is I think because Lane Kiffin is such a polarizing figure, some folks are overlooking the overall talent of this team. Brent Ciancia of Pick Six Previews pointed out that this roster has 29% more blue chip recruits than the second best transfer portal class this year. That is absurd. And it wasn't just a spray and pray, let's put some five stars randomly across the roster. They went ahead and they grabbed the top recruit at the three most pivotal positions in the sport: edge rusher, left tackle, and quarterback. They got the top recruit at all of those levels. Sam Levitt comes in from Arizona State, and he was injured last year, and I think for that reason he's flown under the radar. Let's keep in mind, he had them in overtime against the Texas Longhorns in the college football playoff 2 years ago. He has got crazy athleticism. I think he's going to fit perfectly in this Charlie Weiss, Lane Kiffin offensive system that relies on quick decisions, relies on the athleticism of their quarterback. You saw what Trinidad Shambliss was able to do. I think he's a cut below his overall athleticism. But when you look at all the pieces that they put around him, they went out and it seems every single weakness in this roster, they fortified with all Big 12 receiver Jace Brown at wide receiver, the big bodied wideout from Hawaii, Jackson Harris, who was, you know, a red zone and jump ball demon last year. And then you add in the fact that Tre'Dez Green, who was underutilized last year in Brian Kelly's system, he's 6'7". He's arguably the biggest receiving mismatch in the SEC. They're going to find a way to get the ball into his hands. And when you look at this defense, I think what's interesting about Lane Kiffin is you talk about high school recruits, you talk about transfers. He also recruited the coaching staff, and he was able to keep Blake Baker in as his defensive coordinator. I think that was a huge win because that was the only thing that kept this team from absolutely cratering last year. And now he's got some incredible weapons to work with, particularly a cornerback, DJ Pickett. Will he wear the number 5, Jaden Daniels number or not? Regardless, this guy has All-American caliber kind of ceiling. PJ Woodland as well at the other corner. I think this defense is going to be stout. And the beauty of this bet, whether you get it at 20-1 or 25-1, is that it's not 1998. They don't need to run the table or perhaps have one close defeat and all of a sudden, you know, they're right on the edge. Can they make the BCS National Championship? This team with this schedule can lose twice and still comfortably make the 12-team field. And I just want them to be healthy, playing their best football at the right time. I think that's what the market is missing a bit with this team. Because it's so transfer heavy, there's this conception that it's going to take time for things to gel. And that's true. They can drop a game in the month of September or October and still find a way into the college football playoff.
Yeah, I mean, they open with Clemson, and then they also are at Ole Miss, which will certainly be quite the environment. And then the following week, they host A&M, and they got games at Auburn, against Alabama, Texas, at Tennessee. But you're right. I think at some point soon, if not this year, we're going to get a 3-loss team from the SEC in the playoff. Just see how the rest of the country and the rest of the big power conferences shake out. You have some other topics I want to definitely dissect. We're up against the clock. I know I've already asked you to stay up late. Can we ask you to stay up a few more minutes along those lines?
I got you.
Cool.
Lay it on me.
And I'm going to ask you about the other end of the spectrum, a team that has such a low win total. They moved it a full point, so we're at like 3.5, and the under is still heavily juiced. So I want to get the breakdown of Boston College, which will just be wild. But I also want to talk about why you like LSU. We're going to dissect that further. Also in the SEC, we're going to talk about go out west, why a 6-1 in the Mountain West. That is Michael Calabrese, the Action Network, standing by as we roll on here on Cashing Out at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.